Good morning, everybody. Today's February 22nd, 2016, and our topic today is the strategies of the devil. Now, I know that for a Bible study and a prayer call, we don't usually talk a whole lot about the devil, and we definitely pray against a lot of his wiles and his crazy ways, but we don't necessarily talk a lot about his strategies. And one of the things that God gave me, I prayed for my word for the year this year, and he gave me the word strategic and strategy. And it's been everywhere as a result. And I'm so thankful that God is faithful to us, and he wants us to know what his plans are and what his strategies are. But we, anytime we're in a war or in a battle with something, we know that we need to know what the enemy's doing, right? We need to know what God has for us, and then we also need to be wise to the strategies of the enemy. And Ephesians 6:11 tells us to put on all of God's armor so that we'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. And so I want to make sure that we can stand firm, but we probably need to discover what a few of those are. And I'm going to want to share with a few of those with you today. Let's open in with the word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into our study and our prayer time. Father God, I pray that you'll just touch our hearts and lives. I'm so thankful to be back with everybody today, Lord. Thank you for this amazing community. I just love them so much. And Lord, I thank you that you gave me the time with my family, Lord, and that you brought comfort and peace as we lost Bev last week, Lord, and that you are just our provider. And in the snowstorms and in the ice storms and in the storms of life, you're there to protect us. And Lord, I just praise you that you give us the opportunity to find the good in everything, because you're a good God and you're a loving God. So Lord, I thank you for the way you turn some of those situations into the most incredible, amazing times. I just praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts today with your message about strategies from the enemy, Lord, and that I would have supernatural recall of your word, and that you would just speak through my mouth, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would help me to decrease, that you would increase, and that you would just touch our hearts and our lives in a new, fresh way today. We love and praise you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, strategies are schemes. They're deceptive plots sometimes being concocted for our demise. And those are the ones from the devil. Now, I believe that we do the same thing for the devil. I'll be honest with you. We want to bring him down. We want to have a plan that's going to bring about his demise. We know. We've read the end of the book. If you haven't, grab Revelation. Read Revelation, the last few chapters especially, because it shows that we have the victory. We are not victims to the enemy, but we are victors in Jesus' name. And one of the things that I know is that we, a lot of times, will say, well, let's pray about something. God's already taken care of all that. Jesus did all the work on the cross. All we need to do right now is take authority in Jesus' name. We need to execute what God has given us, the authority, and take control over the situation. Now, there are times that we are to pray, and we're going to be talking a little bit about prayer over the next few weeks, but I wanted to really go and help you to understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Okay, so that makes it a little bit trickier for us, right? It'd be easy if we could look at someone and say, okay, that's my enemy. And even if you've got a bad boss, or you've got a angry spouse, or you've got rebellious children, I want you to know that's not your enemy. Because it tells us in the Word, in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, it says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, the spiritual world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So knowing that we can do so many things, we want to look at what we can use as strategies, but we're going to do that later on. What I want us to do right now is I want you to realize just one thing. The fuel that drives every single thing that we do in our walk with the Lord and our strategies and our warfare against the enemy is derived from prayer. That's that relationship. That's that conversation with God. That's starting off with praise. That's realizing that he's in control, right? That's saying, Lord, use me. I'll be your willing vessel to do your work here on earth. I love when Rebecca gets on the phone. A lot of times she'll offer up a praise report, and she'll say, you know, I've got another day to live and to do what God wants for me to do today. I'm just so grateful and so thankful. And you can hear the passion for it in her voice. And to me, that's what this is about. We need to praise the Lord, and then we need to say, allow me to do whatever you would want me to do, right? God is strategic. God is a God of order. He tells that in tells us that in his word. And so we know that we need to have a plan, right? Proverbs 24:6 tells us strategic planning is the key to warfare. To win, you're going to need a lot of counsel. Well, I don't know about you, but I want my counsel to be from the Lord. I want it to come directly from the Lord. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to try to reason something out, because I know that the enemy can infiltrate my thoughts at times. I know that sometimes I have stinking thinking, but I know if I see it in the Word, if I have my prayer time with the Lord, then I know that if I can find Scripture to back it up, that I've got a good plan, right? So you need to have a plan for how you're going to come against the enemy, but we need to know what his strategies are, right? For me, the areas that I always know the enemy's trying to attack me or attack my family or things is I know my peace goes away. That knowing deep inside of my guts, that peace that goes beyond understanding, that knowing from the Holy Spirit starts feeling uneasy. I get a little bit of nervousness. There's something that just doesn't feel like I'm 100% in alignment with the Lord. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about the enemy is he is very strategic. And you might have noticed that the battles that the enemy wages against you, especially the ones that come most consistently, the ones that hurt the most, those kind of things, it's almost like he has an intimate knowledge of you, right? He's been watching. The enemy knows your weak points, right? These will probably be your areas of greatest fear and anxiety in your life. That's great clues and also a great place for us to watch for our own spiritual information, because we need to take notice of that. We need to ask the Lord to help us and to strengthen us in those areas, right? He puts together a personal strategy to bring you down, to distract you, to destroy you, and to deceive you. Now, don't get full of fear, though, okay? That's one thing I want to make sure that we're really clear of, is he's not God. Our God is so powerful and so strong, and he's equipped us already. So we've already won. We need to exercise that authority. But what the enemy tries to do is he tries to get all dressed up and act all tough and tries to bully us because he wants to disorient us, he wants to distract us, he wants to confuse us, and he wants to try to defeat us if he can. But we're smarter than that, because wisdom is one of Holy Spirit's names. And we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He promises to give us the wisdom that we need. He promises to give us direction. So let me share a little bit of wisdom with you today in regards to some of the strategies of the enemy, right? Now, these are only a few, but what I've noticed is he tries to, you know, disorient us, if he tries to pull his weapons out against us, he usually attacks in many of the same ways. And for those of you that haven't read this book, it's really awesome. I've been reading a book called Fervent by Priscilla Schreier. If you saw The War Room, she was the lead actress there. And this was based off of a story from her grandmother. And so loosely off of that story. But I love this book and started reading this. And so I wanted to share some of these strategies with you. Strategy number one is he comes against your passion. What the enemy tries to do is he tries to seek to dim your whole desire for prayer. He tries to dull your interest in spiritual things, and he tries to downplay the potency of your most strategic weapons. To find your weapons, you're going to find them in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. That's the armor of God. Okay, so if you're wondering what are my weapons, they're right there, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Strategy number two is he comes against your focus. Have you ever just felt like disoriented or have had a lack of clarity? Well, what the enemy does is he disguises himself and he manipulates your perspective, so you end up focusing on the wrong things, the wrong culprit, and directing your weapons at the wrong enemy. Now, I'm not trying to call anybody out here, okay? So I'm going to just talk about myself, right? There have been times in my marriage where I just would look at my husband and think, how in the world did I ever marry you? How in the world did I ever think that you were a good man? Why would I think that you would be my life partner? I was looking at the wrong enemy. My husband has a good heart. He is the perfect mate for me. God brought us together. But I was looking at the flesh. I was looking at him when it was the enemy working in and through him. So my enemy is not with flesh and blood. It wasn't with my husband. It's with the principalities, the powers. It's the evil enemy that I is my enemy. It's not my husband, right? So it could be your boss, your kids. It could be your neighbor. It could be anyone around you. I also sometimes get distracted looking at the wrong thing. My focus is completely off. I think, like, God would want me to go into a specific direction, and then all of a sudden I get all turned around, and I look back and realize that the enemy has come in, and he's distracted me. He's changed my perspective, and somehow, all of a sudden, I'm not even doing the thing that I was on task or on target to do with the Lord. Now, we can, and we're going to be teaching you how to pray through some of these things in the future, and to be stronger in these areas. But just wanting you to know that he comes against our focus. So he comes against our passion. He comes against our focus. I mean, think about your passion. Like when you first got saved, you were probably so excited to go to church every single Sunday. You couldn't wait to walk in the door. You couldn't wait for praise and worship to start. And then after a while, it's like, okay, it's Sunday. We got to go to church. And it's not that you don't want to go, but it's just that same passion. Same thing about prayer. You couldn't wait to talk to God. You couldn't wait for that revelation from him. You couldn't wait for him to come inside of your heart and speak to you and speak to your mind and be reading the word and have it just jumping off the page at you. Then it's like, oh, I didn't pick up my Bible for a whole week, or I'm just going through the motions. Okay, so that's how the enemy sneaks in. Strategy number three is he comes against your identity. What he does is he magnifies your insecurities. Now, I don't know about you, but I know every dimple on my body, okay? Every dimple, dent, any time that any scar I have, anything that I don't feel comfortable with or I'm insecure, he knows. And then what the enemy tries to do is he tries to take it and lead you to doubt what God says about you and to disregard what he's given you. A good reference for scripture there is Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. His fourth strategy is he comes against your family. Now, I'm telling you, I am one mean mama bear, okay? And especially with the devil. I'm telling you, we have gone and battled, and I have kicked his butt in Jesus' name because I'm not going to let him come against my family. But I can tell you the area that he attacks me most is my family. And I know it's because I love them most. But what he wants to do is he wants to disintegrate your family. He wants to divide your home. He wants to render it chaotic and restless and unfruitful. But again, we know we've got more power than that, right? This is just some of his strategies. And that's found in Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Strategy number five is he comes against your confidence. He constantly reminds you of your past mistakes, your bad choices, hoping to convince you that you're under God's judgment rather than under the blood, according to Revelation 12:10. And isn't that true? I can't tell you how many times the enemy will replay a video or a DVD or a movie or whatever you want to call it in my mind's eye. Like, why did I say that? Boy, that was so stupid. And then it goes on and on, and I'm cursing myself. I'm not looking at the goodness that God created in me. I'm not looking to how I can turn all things together for good because God promises to do that because I've been called according to his purpose. I don't do that. I start replaying these same things of something silly I said, something inappropriate I did. You know, and it could be things from high school or childhood. That's how the enemy tries to come against our confidence. But again, we're the victors, not the victim. Strategy number six, he comes against your calling. He's going to amplify your fear, your worry. your anxiety until they're the loudest voices in your head, causing you to deem the adventure of following God too risky to attempt. But again, we know this isn't truth, right? Joshua 14:8 tells us that. Strategy 7, he comes against our purity. Now, a lot of people think he starts there first. He comes against my purity. He wants me to sin. But I know in my own life, he does these other strategies first. He does attack my passion first, and then my focus, or vice versa. Those two get interchanged with me quite frequently. Then he comes against my identity, and he comes against my family. He comes against my confidence. He comes against my calling. And then many times he will tempt me around my purity. What he tries to do is he tries to tempt you towards certain sins. He knows your areas of weakness. He's going to target those areas. He's been watching and observing you, and he's going to try to target those areas. He tries to convince you that you can tolerate them without risking any consequence. And it starts off, you know, fairly innocent, usually not a great big thing, and then it just continues to grow and pile on and pile on. But what he does know is even with the smallest sin, it separates you from God. And he knows that he'll only be wedging a distance between you and God. And that's what he wants. He just wants a bigger wedge, a bigger gap. And he tells us that in Isaiah 59:1-2. Strategy number 8 is he comes against your rest and your contentment. What he does is he hopes to overload your life and your schedule, pressuring you to constantly push beyond your limits, never feeling permission to say no, according to Deuteronomy 5:15. The last two strategies I want to talk about today before we go into prayer is strategy number 9. He comes against your heart. He uses every opportunity to keep old wounds fresh in your mind. Knowing that anger and hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness will continue to roll the damage forward. He's got a stronghold there. Strategy number 10. He comes against our relationships. He creates disruption and disunity within your circle of friends and family and within the shared community of the body of Christ. Because he knows if he can't get you any other way, he'll try to take you down in the church. Now, these are the 10 most usual ways that he strategizes against the strength of God and the strength that you hold. But I want you to know that today we're going to be praying that God's going to gird you, he's going to strengthen you, he's going to guide you, and he's going to sustain you. And we're going to be talking about what you can do against these strategies of the enemy. But I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be surprised. If you see things in your life showing up according to one of these strategies, immediately take authority in Jesus' name, rebuke the devil, because it says if we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. And I want you to grab scripture according to whatever that area is, and you find one verse in the Bible that you can start confessing as you rebuke the enemy and stand firm on the word of God in the meantime. Spend time in prayer this week. Spend time talking to God and conversing with him, and we'll continue our study on the strategies of the devil and how we can combat that the way that God would want us to, because I'm expecting amazing things, and we're going to give you strategies so that you can overcome the strategies of the devil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we praise you that we do have another day to live and to live for you and to do what you would have us to do. Thank you so much for the joy and the passion you bring in Rebecca's voice each week, Lord. Lord, I do praise you that bookings are up for Gloriella, but Lord, we ask that you would reveal to her what it is that's holding her back in the area of sales. Release her from the scarcity mindset, Lord. She needs sales. You know that you promise you'll take care of all of our needs. So, Lord, I pray that you will just release sales to her. Help her to be fervent in working her business, Lord, so that the sales will come. Give her divine inspiration on what you would have her to do to increase those sales. Lord, we just praise you that Ruth's going to be traveling to Palm Springs and to Orlando for the live event and then also for her Shackley conference, Lord. I just pray you'll give her traveling mercies, that you'll set up divine connections for her. Lord, that favor will go out before her, and this will be a time to remember and to praise you for. Lord, I pray for Christine, her cousin, who's expecting the baby. Lord, protect the mommy, protect the baby, Lord, and that it would be a smooth, healthy delivery, that mommy and baby would be just fine. And Lord, that this would be a blessing to the entire family. But we do pray a blessing upon Christine's baby now in Jesus' name, before even the baby's arrival. Lord, we just thank you for the work you're going to be working in and through this young one, Lord, and into their life. I pray a blessing upon their life, that they will serve you all the days of their life, and that they would be faithful to you, Lord, and that they would rise up as a strong person following you all of the days of their life. Lord, we thank you so much that Carol is on the call with us today. And Lord, you know that Bill's looking for another contract. I pray that you will open the doors that need to be opened. He'll walk through them and receive a blessing, a huge, huge blessing of work, Lord, but that you will also close the doors. And so will not allow any confusion to enter in for the places that he's not to be working or looking. And Lord, I pray that you will bring peace, unity, reconciliation, restoration to their family during this time of Carol's father-in-law's illness and the care for her mother-in-law. Lord, I know that sometimes emotions can be raw, so I pray that you will just give them an extra measure of grace, mercy, and love. Lord, I pray for Bob to have positive cash flow this week in his business. You know that he's got a check coming, Lord. I pray that it will be for what he expects it to be, and that you'll bring additional resources and funds that he's not even expecting, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Jean with her challenge with her boss. Lord, I pray that you will give her the wisdom to speak what she needs to speak, to be quiet when she needs to be quiet, that she can accomplish what she needs to accomplish, that you would change his mind and his heart in Jesus' name, and, Lord, that she would realize that she's not battling against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, this enemy, Lord, and that you would give her the wisdom on how to battle this according to your strength, your way, and your wisdom. Lord, I praise you for Stacy, Lord, and that you're putting her house in order. Lord, I just pray that you'll help her to continue to be bold in spirit and confident in her business so that she can be repositioned in her weekend job. Lord, we love you and praise you. I pray a blessing upon each person listening to this call. Lord, I thank you that you allow me to be a part of this group and to lift you up. Lord, I pray that you will continue to realign our business to have it be exactly what you would want it to be, Lord, that you would provide the support. Lord, that I would not go out before you, that I would be patient and I would hear your word. You tell us that you will strengthen us if we wait upon you, Lord. So I thank you and I receive that strength. Lord, I thank you that we have time that you give us to just spend in your word. Lord, you know there's so many tasks that need to be accomplished in each of our lives and businesses, Lord. So I pray that you would order our steps, that we would do things in a timely fashion and in order, and that we would accomplish your purpose. Help us to stay from overwhelm, worry, or anxiety, Lord, but help us to walk in your strength, in your timing, and be able to worship and praise you as we go along in the process. Father, we love you and thank you for this time together. We love you for being who you are. We thank you that you've knit our hearts together. It's so wonderful to hear each voice as they come on the line, Lord. And I pray that you will just be with our families, be with our businesses, that we would give you honor and glory for all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take care, everybody. I'll be with you again next week, and we're going to continue this study so that we can help you be more strategic in your prayers as well as in your time with praise and worship and all the other components of prayer. So we will have victory in Jesus' name over the enemy. Take care. God bless you, and I'll be with you next week. Bye, everybody.